a word needs to be said here about this concept of human sacrifice. Why would God ask Abraham to make a sacrifice of his son? Is this not human sacrifice? Is this not something that's abhorrent to God? Well, of course it is. Of course it is. God, obviously, remember, he doesn't let him go through with it. That's a clue there, number one. But number two, very specifically, later on in salvation history, in Scripture, God very clearly spells it out, how detestable human sacrifice is to him. And, of course, some of the pagan nations around the Israelites do practice this along with worship of false gods. The concept of this whole thing, though, at this point, to Abraham, I'm not advocating this at all, but I'm just saying to Abraham, this wouldn't be necessarily an odd request because this was a part of the pagan ancient world, human sacrifice. It wasn't a good thing. It was incredibly evil and sinful, but people did it. Now, why did they do it back then? Well, for that matter, it still happens today, just in a different form with abortion. But why did people, for religious reasons, quote-unquote, take part in human sacrifice? Well, it had to do with fertility gods. And this was basically making an offering to appease the gods, if you will, of the first fruits or the fruits of your loins, if you will, just as you might offer God the first fruits of your crop. Well, people would offer the quote-unquote gods, the false gods, human sacrifice, one of their children. It's a thanksgiving for all the blessing of all the children. You give one back to the God in human sacrifice. Now, that's obviously a very twisted way of thinking. I'm just saying that was common back in those days, and Abraham wouldn't necessarily have thought that part was weird. What Abraham would have thought was strange to him for sure would be, hang on here. Would it have been hard to deal with? Of course it would have been. But what's really going through Abraham's mind, and of course it's hard to read his mind on this because the text doesn't tell us much about what he was thinking. It doesn't tell us about conversations that he would have had with God or with Sarah. I can't believe God is asking me to do this. With Isaac, son, I have to tell you something very difficult. There's none of that. He just does it. He obeys. But what really probably would have been forefront in Abraham's mind was, how in the world is God going to accomplish this covenant, all these promises he's made to me, because they all depend on this son? So how in the world is this going to happen? Well, one of the answers to that question is that, as the New Testament tells us, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. God can do anything. And that's a great deduction on Abraham's part, because the resurrection at that point has not come into human history, to be sure. But that's really the problem here from Abraham's point of view. And he really shows, he's called our father in faith for a reason, because the faith that he shows is really otherworldly. It is an incredible example. When we see in verse 8, Isaac is asking, hang on here, you know, got the fire, got the wood, where's the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Now, of course, typologically, we can look forward to the new covenant time. God will provide himself the lamb. One way to read that is that God will be the lamb himself. And we do have Jesus, the Lamb of God, who does offer himself as a sacrifice, for sure. But in terms of what Abraham was thinking at that time, not knowing the details about Christ to come in the future, of course, what he's saying is quite interesting, because when he says God will provide, that word provide actually means to see. And here's how we even use this expression today. I will see to it that you're taken care of. I will see to it that the report is on your desk by Friday at noon. That's what it means. It means God is going to take care of the details. He's going to work it out. I don't know how this is going to happen. It's not looking good right now, but I trust that God will do it. So he will look after the situation. Yahweh is in the details. And this is a great insight of Abraham here, and we're going to develop this a little bit more in just a minute. But remember in the last chapter, when Abraham plants a tamarisk tree, he's kind of putting down roots, he says, God is the everlasting God, the eternal God. He's got the big picture view for all of eternity. He's got the ultimate plan for the world, for everything. But now we see how God is in the details as well. He's going to provide everything that is needed down to the very nth degree. So that's what's going on here. And when, obviously, this, you know, Abraham goes so far as to tie up Isaac, to bind him, and pulls out the knife, he's going to plunge it into him. And by the way, whenever I think of this scene, I always think of the painting, the famous painting by Caravaggio, about how, you know, the angel of the Lord stays Abraham's hand. He doesn't kill his son. And in this painting, Abraham almost looks like a thug, you know, in a back alley, a guy with a knife that you wouldn't want to meet. Well, Caravaggio kind of was that guy. He was a very violent, tough guy. And he's almost painting himself as Abraham in a certain sense. So that just always sticks in my mind. And when the angel of the Lord, by the way, the angel of the Lord basically is speaking for God. He's God's mouthpiece, if you will. And Abraham's literally going to plunge in the knife. He's going to do it. He's going, and the angel says, do not lay your hand upon the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son. Now, did God not know this, what he was going to do? Of course he knew what he was going to do. He has omniscience. He's all-knowing. He sees everything. But what does he really mean by this? Well, what he basically means is that there's a difference between knowing you're going to do something and then having the person actually do it. Did God actually know this? Yes. But we still need to do it. We still need to be willing to make the sacrifices that God asks of us in real time. That's why we actually go to Mass. We don't just think about doing it. We don't just say that would be a lovely idea, but we go and worship God. And so that's one of the things that's happening here. But when he does this, the angel also says, by myself, and this is in verse 15, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only begotten son, I will indeed bless you and will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And by your descendants shall all the nations of the earth bless themselves because you have obeyed my voice. So now the stakes are raised even more with this covenant between God and Abraham, because now God is swearing by his own name, his own holy name. In my name, I swear to you. So he's, in a sense, binding himself even more. God is. I'm really, really, really going to do these things, and you can definitely take it to the bank now. You always could, but now I'm really going to town here, swearing an oath in my own name. And this line about your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies, that would have been very meaningful to the Israelites reading this book of Genesis as they're taking conquest of the promised land, because they've got to defeat all of these nations that are now occupying the land. They've got to take control of it. And the other nations will go to the Israelites for blessing. We see this all the time throughout the Old Testament, because they've been specially favored by God. It's not because they deserved it. It's not because they're any better than anybody else. And it's the same for us as Catholics. We have these blessings not because we're better than anyone else. We don't deserve it any more than anyone else. It's God made a choice. I'm going to do things this way. But ultimately, the plan is for everybody to be blessed. This isn't an exclusive thing. That's the whole point of the Catholic Church, the worldwide, universal Catholic Church. It's for everybody. It's for all peoples. But all the blessing has to come into the world in a specific way, through a specific plan. So to funnel specifically very through this one guy, Abraham, and then through him, through this people, this nation that will come, and then from that nation to all the nations of the world through the Catholic Church, the funnel starts small, but it's quite a wide stream that people can drink from all over the world at the end of the day. So, but this is the channel of blessing. This is the way that God decided. He could have picked any group of people, but he decided to pick these people. And that's what he did. That was his sovereign choice. So again, doesn't mean that anybody's any better than anybody else, but this is in fact the way that he chose to do it. And God didn't check with us about anything. Okay. Always remember that. So all the descendants of the nations will also bless themselves by Abraham, because he has obeyed his voice. The faith of Abraham, our father in faith, again, such a model here. Okay, So what is really, I said earlier, I promised I would tell you, what is the real test that God is putting before Abraham here with, saying, you've got to be willing to offer your son. What is the real test here? The real test is this. Are Abraham, and by extension his descendants, and us too, are we more attached to the blessings that God gives than we are to God himself? Think about that for a minute. Do we love the gifts of God more than God himself? We have to be detached from everything and everyone except for God himself. Now, it doesn't mean God's going to take all these things away from us. He didn't with Abraham. He just wanted to know, are you willing to let him go? And he was. Even though it didn't make sense to him, he was willing to do it because he knew that that's what God wanted. Well, it's the same thing when people follow Jesus, because a lot of people follow Jesus just because of the fish and the loaves, because their bellies were full. You know, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Hey, it's dinner and a show. Hey, wow, see this miracle, get fed, amazing stuff. But you've got to be willing to follow Christ, not for what he gives, but for his own sake. Do you care more about the gifts of God than God himself? You've got to want to know him.